subsidiary use cannabis? The first question. The second question is, how confident are you in the information that you have in those charts is accurate? How confident do you know that the information the banks are giving you is accurate?
So let me do the second one first, on how do we know whether the information we get is accurate. That's exactly what the bank examination process does. So for the largest institutions, we have people in-house at the organizations. They not only look at the actual loan files, they get all the information that goes to the board of directors meetings. They get all the information that goes to senior management. They're usually intertwined in the intranet system at the organization. They have the ability to pull whatever loan files they need in order to be sure that the banks are accurately assessing what the risks of those particular loans are. So these are very large institutions. They're very complicated institutions. It's very difficult to manage an institution with more than $1 trillion, and it's very difficult to supervise an institution that's more than $1 trillion. But nonetheless, I think we do have the ability to kind of focus on those areas that we think are riskiest and get an assessment of whether the information we're getting is accurate. In terms of the rating agencies, we don't supervise rating agencies, and so I can't speak directly to how any one particular rating agency came up with their rating. I would say that the insurance subsidiaries were highly profitable, and for many years, AIG was extremely profitable. They were booking insurance businesses without losses that were generating huge profits because there were no losses. So there wasn't much attention during the good times to a lot of the activities that were generating the profit. And many of the insurance subsidiaries are actually fairly state organizations that remain profitable today. So I can't speak exactly to the credit agencies and how they came up with their rating, but they had been very profitable. They had pretty good balance sheets. They had a lot of capital, and that's one of the reasons why I think they had the AAA credit rating. In retrospect, we should have had a better understanding of what they were doing in the swap market. This was a relatively small group of people in a very, very large organization that spanned the globe. So you can have rogue people in any organization, and it is something an organization has to be aware of. Ideally, you have good enough risk management procedures in place that you're able to detect that. And I would say that no one was responsible for the holding company to supervise them. Had they been supervised by somebody who thought about the overall company, I think a lot more questions would have been asked. It's very odd, as I pointed out in my talk, that the largest insurer in the United States that's so active in so many financial markets, we had virtually no interaction with. That's not a good place to be. The central bank should have a better understanding of systemically important institutions that could take down the entire economy. That's exactly why we need to have a change in the way we think about systemically important institutions. Sure.
I'm wondering, given your role here in Boston, if you could maybe put Massachusetts in a national context, the depth of the fall, the outlook for the future, specifically the outlook for things like jobs. Specifically interested in the outlook for jobs, the real estate market, and whether Massachusetts will, as some believe, emerge earlier, and what your signs say today, for that matter, in terms of our recovery.
So the question was, what's the outlook for the New England economy? And paraphrasing, obviously New England's done better than the rest of the country. Our unemployment rate is substantially below the 10.2% for the nation. We didn't have an outsized exposure to the auto industry. We didn't have an outsized exposure to the condo market or commercial real estate. So when you report on banks that are closed on Friday night, for the most part, you're reading about banks that are located in places like Georgia and Florida and Nevada and California. You're not reading about banks closing in New England. So we are in the fortunate position that this is one recession that we're not the focus of at this time. So the last two recessions, one was focused on high tech, where we had a large exposure, and one was focused on commercial real estate, particularly in New England, which we obviously had a large exposure. We don't have large exposures to those sectors that are most affected. So our financial institutions are in much better shape than in many other parts of the country. That's good news for small businesses that are in New England. That being said, I think that it's still very difficult to get credit during even in parts of the country that are doing better. So my expectation is that the New England economy will continue to do better than that of the country as a whole, and that we will be coming out of this cycle a little bit better, and that we will have the capacity to get lending and a labor market that's robust enough that I do think we'll get a reasonable recovery in New England as the national economy improves. That being said, we're not going to be dramatically different than the national economy. We do need the national economy to continue to grow. And I would expect, for reasons that I think Chairman Bernanke highlighted a couple days ago, that there's still some significant concerns. It's going to be a while before we see improvements in the employment outlook. So while we've had positive growth in GDP in the third quarter, we're likely to get positive growth in the fourth quarter as well, of roughly the same magnitude. That's not fast enough to get the unemployment rate down. So we need an economy that's growing much more robustly if we want to start getting much more improvement in the labor market. That's one source of concern. And the second source of concern is banking markets. Obviously, it's not good news if we're reading every Saturday morning in the paper about banks that were closed on Friday. Commercial real estate prices are still falling. There are large exposures in many parts of the country to commercial real estate. So that continues to be a concern. As long as the banks feel like they're capital constrained, they're not going to be willing to lend on the same terms as if they felt they were not capital constrained. So I do think that there are impediments to a robust recovery, but I think we will have a recovery. Unfortunately, it's not a recovery that'll get much improvement in labor markets in the near term. One more question, or is everybody ready for dessert?
I want to talk about Wall Street and Main Street for a moment.
Yeah.
Why is it that the federal financial decisions, Congress and others, are always favoring Wall Street over Main Street? And I want to use one example, and that's the credit card charge that banks make on consumers. Now, consumers, taxpayers, have just invested billions of dollars to bail out these banks. And now, of course, we're realizing that they're charging very high rates for credit card, for consumer credit card rates. And now the Congress and the federal system says, okay, banks, you got to stop doing that, but we're going to give you several months before you have to stop charging these rates.
So the question was on the very high rates that consumer credit cards are charging. You can't overnight change the terms on a credit card. You have to get the information. You have to get your system set up. You have to send the information to the people that have the credit cards. You have to give them some time period to be able to cancel out on the credit card. So you're not going to be able to have something that's instituted instantaneously. That being said, I agree that it is very unfortunate that many of the companies that you've highlighted have dramatically raised rates to front run the legislation that was intended to prevent exactly that. The legislation, I think, was done in part to give people enough time to get their systems in place to be able to adopt to the new regulations. I think you do need some time to adopt to the new regulations, but a number of institutions have chosen to try to front-run those regulations, and I think that's unfortunate. I think it's inevitable that you can't expect that it's going to happen overnight. You can't expect anybody who's worked with computer systems knows to get the programmers to change everything. It doesn't happen overnight. You need to test the systems. You need to make sure you're doing things accurately. You need to inform customers. So it doesn't happen overnight, but it is an unfortunate outcome that so many institutions have chosen to so dramatically change the terms of credit right before the new regulations were in place. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate everybody's attention, and enjoy the rest of your meal.